Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's co-hosting with me from Dallas. Again, good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman is here with us in studio. And Walker, what have you posted so far on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I just posted the Operation Christmas Child link to AFR.net where you can donate. $6 will provide one booklet, and $60 obviously will provide 10 booklets for these children to go through this discipleship program. And let me give the phone number one more time just in case our listeners didn't write it down. The phone number, if you want to donate to help give The Greatest Journey, which is the 12-week disciple program that goes along with the shoeboxes brought to you by Operation Christmas Child. Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or they can go to AFR.net.
Okay. Steve Jordahl with American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is in studio with us. Steve, before we get to the news of the day, last hour we were in discussion about what kind of hat it is that I am bought over the weekend and am wearing now, and I want to know, Ray's called it a golf hat. I'm holding it up now. What do you call that?
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray. The guy, I don't know what it would be called, but the guy that I remember wearing that was it Jimmy, who was the motor car, race car commentator on ABC back in the day? He wore one of those.
Wow, you got a good memory. Yeah.
I have an answer for Ray and Tim on the name of this hat.
It's not a beret, but it looks like one. What is it?
No, I looked it up. It's an Ivy cap.
An Ivy cap?
An Ivy cap.
Ooh, that very, like it's, Ivy League,
it's
right?
Smart, correct. Though. It's a good correct, looking Ray. Cap.
Oh, you mean like Ivy League?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey,
it's a good
Tim.
Looking cap.
So I have an honorary degree from.
You do
that's
now.
Exactly
some
right.
people call it Ivy caps or flat caps.
Okay.
But Ivy caps is the
I
more
call
formal.
It warm cap.
Yeah, very stylish. Very stylish.
Well,
we'll have to get Ray one too and get him on camera.
Switching
boy,
right.
I like that.
Very, very comfortable. Anyway,
what you need now is like a 1953 roadster that you can go out.
That's right.
Well, or wear knickerbockers.
You could wear knickerbockers too.
And,
you'd know, look good in knickers, you know, Tim.
As long as you have the socks to cover up those thighs.
I don't know. You wear knickers.
You wear
knickers today.
Wearing knickers?
You wear knickerbockers today. I think you're going to get a few looks.
Oh, yeah, golf.
Some golfers
who
do,
was
but
the,
rarely.
Who
Payne
was the
Stewart.
Guy?
Payne Stewart.
Payne
Stewart.
Yeah. Love Payne Stewart.
Y'all look at me from something in the 60s or 70s and say, what was that? What was his name?
Well, knickerbockers go back to the 19th century, but, I mean, they were the high socks and the pants that were baggy down to the knee, but – Payne Stewart was a professional golfer.
Yeah.
He passed away, sadly, in an airplane accident. His jet, this is I don't know, 15 years ago or so, his private jet, the carbon monoxide, I think, got into the cabin.
They lost air pressure.
And the whole crew, the crew died. Oh, they lost air pressure.
I think they lost air pressure.
Okay, is that what
went
happened?
Went unconscious,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, went unconscious, and so they crashed in Iowa, I think, after...
I remember that story.
Remember that?
Because I was doing news at the time, and I remember them saying Payne Stewart's plane is not responding.
So it wasn't carbon monoxide, it was loss of air pressure.
I think it was loss of air pressure where they passed out from lack of oxygen and they froze before the plane crashed, they say. But I remember because they were covering it and showing the progress of this plane on which nobody was conscious. And it was going
to
run.
It was from Florida to Iowa until it ran out of gas.
Until it ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Wow. And, oh, it was such a sad
thing. He was. The point is, he was known for wearing the knickerbockers.
Yeah, he was. Jackie Stewart is the guy I was trying to think of earlier.
At tournaments. All right, Steve, what's in the news, my friend?
Top of the page at OneNewsNow.com. I yesterday took a look at a new waste book, W-A-S-T-E book, that was put out from... Oklahoma Senator James Lankford has put out a new waste book, and it has some examples of things that the
government
has done in waste. Last year, the Department of Defense spent more than $42 million on one gas station.
What?
And, oh, by the way, yes, $42 million on one gas station. It was meant to service natural gas cars that were converted to natural gas. A, they forgot to look into the distribution system, and they found that there was no distribution system that could reach the national gas, the natural gas to the gas station. And B, the cost to convert the cars to natural gas was more than the country could afford. That's example one.
We don't need any more, Steve.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in, Steve. No, I'm just kidding.
Top of the page.
But they do this every year. You get these examples of wasted tax dollars. Hopefully, some of that will be cleaned up with the new Congress and the Trump administration.
That's the point of the article.
Because I would imagine if you told Donald Trump that happened and he had anything to do with it, he would say, whoever did that's fired.
You're fired.
Right, you're fired.
That was the point of the article, Lankford pointing out that we are so much in debt and to the tune of trillions of dollars. I think it's $19 trillion in debt.
That's between 19 and 23, and that's about to become a major issue and major source of concern for the Democrats.
Lankford pointed out that if we were to balance the budget in 10 years, which is what the current – they always have a plan to balance the budget in 10 years – and then the next year, 11th year, you had a $50 billion surplus, and you kept having a $50 billion surplus year after year. It would take 460 years to pay off the national debt.
Mm. It's not going to be paid off, the national debt. Well, I'm just saying that the President Obama's administration for the last 8 years, and I might add with some responsibility to the Republican Congress as well, has racked up this debt, but it's not been a concern until now. Now it'll all of a sudden be, you hear the liberals going, we just can't go into any more debt.
Yeah,
you know, after they've added $10 trillion to the debt last year. I don't know what's going to, Ray, I don't guess we really fully understand this. We can pretend like we do, but it's not, it's probably not going to end well for us somewhere down the road, you think?
Well, you, I mean, how many trillions can you go in debt before the whole thing collapses? At least we can hope with the incoming administration.
Yeah.
If you can't roll it back, don't make it worse, right?
Because quit digging.
All right, Craig, when you're in a hole, stop digging, right?
Yeah. What else you got there, Steve?
I was taken with the story yesterday, the tragedy at Ohio State. Fortunately, nobody was killed, but the police officer, did you cover this last hour? Because the police officer that responded.
Go ahead and tell us.
The police officer that responded to this.
You had a jihadi.
You had a gentleman who was a Somali immigrant.
He's not a gentleman.
A person that was a Somali immigrant to the United States living here legally who had posted some pro-Muslim, anti-U.S. Posts on social media directly before he ran a car into a crowd and then got out and started hacking at people with a knife. The police officer that was on duty, I believe, is a campus police officer named Alan Haruko, and Alan was got to the scene the way that the officials there described it. The officer encountered the individual, this is the terrorist, by 9:53. The subject was neutralized by 9:53. It took less than a minute for that man to save some lives. A hero, no doubt a hero. I'm reminded of
was this like a campus police officer?
I believe he was a campus police officer.
And wow. And so you know, any idea what the motive might have been for this jihadi?
They are still trying to figure that out. Now, this is where the media,
I'm
the way
sarcastic,
they cover this.
You can be straight if you want to. Go ahead.
They haven't come up with a media. They don't know yet at this point.
This is like a reporting about a KKK cross burning in a black family's yard in 1923 Mississippi. And the reporter goes out there and sees what's going on and goes, you know what? We just don't know what the motive was yet for this incident. We have men on horses wearing white hoods and burning a cross.
They have something against oak, I think.
But we don't know if they have an issue with the kind of detergent that's used on sheets.
Maybe.
Or you know, they like riding horses and intimidating people, but we don't know the motive. Back to you, Chris. That's the kind of silliness you get with these reports about when you have clear Islamic Jihad. And they tell you, I'm doing this because I hate the infidel and I want to please Allah. And then the news media goes, and the FBI, too, they'll do this, too. We just don't know the motive.
Another example of this, I had an interview this morning with the director of a national radio news, a journalism association. And the topic was, because he had brought up, do we have to be concerned about the way the election was covered? So I called him and I said, what about the bias? He said, I don't think there was bias in the election. I just think we missed it.
Okay.
Seriously?
All righty then.
I pointed out to him the New York Times.
Yeah, denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. OneNewsNow.com.
Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. Walker, did you post something?
Yeah, I posted the government waste story as reported by Senator James Lankford.
Okay. Facebook, today's issues, our Facebook page. Check it out. For the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Sandy, I guess good afternoon to you, living in the Eastern time zone.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It's lunchtime.
You
want something?
Oh, yeah, you're making me hungry there. I had a little popcorn a while ago, but it's not very filling. Sandy, thanks.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to your show in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you for that, could I say? Thank you for
well,
that.
Well, you're welcome.
It's a big compliment,
but
Tim.
But some of the things you're saying, you sound like Debbie Downer.
come on, you're kidding
me.
Well,
no, on the new administration. I mean, don't we have a lot of good things to be happy about? And I'm picking on you a little bit because you you have been talking about. Did you call Mike Pence a rhino?
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah.
No, you didn't. Kind of did. You did.
Well, why did you ask me?
Well, yes, I'm asking you. I sound like a prosecutor. Why did you say? Why did you say that?
First of all, I have to say I go back a long way with him, and I have always admired him, and it's not that I don't anymore. It's just that he has done some things as governor of Indiana that were very concerning. And one of the, I believe it was the first thing, yes, the first thing that came to my attention was what happened with Common Core. And I thought, I was hoping maybe I was wrong, but I interviewed Dr. Sandra Stotsky yesterday, who was on the original committee that reviewed the original Common Core standards when it started 6 years ago. She is, her resume, you could, paper one side of your house with it. She was a researcher at Harvard for years. She set the standards for Massachusetts schools, which caused them to win tons of awards, skyrocket to the top nationally and internationally. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's brilliant. So I asked her because I thought, well, now she would know. She was very involved in Indiana. And what happened was that, and the people in Indiana who know about Common Core know about this because they were heartsick. When Mike Pence said he was opposed to Common Core and then turned around and adopted the very same standards by a different name. They named them something like Indiana standards, but it was Common Core. Sandra, Dr. Stotsky said it was like moving a few commas and adding a few periods. There was no difference.
Let me ask you this. What is the, this is very heady stuff, and I'm glad people like you research it and your guest there that you referenced. But to be as simple as possible with this, what is the problem with Common Core? Common Core is this educational analysis, if you will, or scoring system that's used nationally. What is the problem with Common Core, the principal problem?
The idea. Well, let me tell you the positive. The reason people give for it is that because American education has sunk to such lows, we need a Common Core of standards. We need standards in math and reading and science. We need to, in English, we need this set of standards that everybody everywhere meets, so that when corporations and companies hire and AFA hires, you can expect that a graduate from high school can do X, Y, and Z. Sounds good. And I think that's why a lot of people have embraced Common Core, because that's what they think. But could I just say, it's turned out to be a lot like Obamacare will cover 20 million extra people who aren't covered. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and your premiums will go down. It's a lot like that. It makes all of these declarations and promises, but it is not that at all. It turns out that the standards are actually quite low. And what they're doing is dumbing down the American student rather than elevating them.
Yeah.
And the standards are very, for the experts, are very questionable in all of the disciplines. The other thing is just, it's a matter of control, a federal control, Tim, too. They have all of these invasive questions.
But see, that's what I would, I have to believe that Donald Trump and Governor Mike Pence, the vice president-elect, what you've just described happening in Indiana notwithstanding, are against the federal control of the education. If they're not, then there's no hope.
Well,
okay?
Here's the way. This is, if you had to, you know, I don't look. I'm just surmising. And my surmising is that I have seen Governor Pence and other good Republicans at one time gradually alter their views as they get involved with a Chamber of Commerce and international business interests who have been the ones pushing Common Core. Jeb Bush has been the one pushing Common Core through the Republican Governors Association. He has made millions personally pushing Common Core. And corporations, international corporations, have wanted this. I think some of them know what they're doing. The Bushes have been terrible on this for years.
Okay.
George Herbert Walker Bush was pushing.
I don't need any more bad news. No. I want to change topics.
Tim, let me make it complete, because I don't think Donald Trump knows all these subtleties.
No, I don't either.
I know Mike Pence knows this because Sandra Stotsky talked to him personally.
Okay.
I know that he knows.
Well,
what
we'll
he's
see
doing.
What happens. I'm willing to give him a chance.
So yeah, who his education secretary appoints, Betsy DeVos, who she appoints, will speak volumes.
Yeah, he needs to appoint a secretary of education that's going to shut down the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. You solve your problem by cutting off the head of the snake. And I think if as long as there's a Department of Education in Washington, D.C., you're going to have these problems of federal control. I want to switch topics for time's sake. Can you give Governor Mike Pence, can you bring him out of the rhino jail on the Mike Price? Is it, what's Price's?
Dr. Tom Price.
Dr. Tom Price, Health and Human Services. What about you think about that?
Well, I have interviewed Dr. Price several times. He's not a personal friend. I know Mike Pence better than I know Dr. Price. But Tom Price, from the knowledge I have today, but I have to read more. But from what I know today, I've had very good interactions with him. He has been a constant opponent of Obamacare. He came up with a plan. Which I can't, embrace, or I don't know enough about it, but it's got to be better than Obamacare. Certainly he's an opponent of Obamacare.
But he's very pro-life. He's 100% pro-life.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
These are impressions, Tim, and when you do what I do, you have to read the tea leaves and get impressions, and sometimes I try to be very exact about what I say. I just know that Dr. Price has been involved with House leadership. That makes me nervous. But I think that on a personal note, when I've interviewed him, he's been a constant critic of Obamacare and a constant opponent. And for that, I'm grateful. So, he may be the perfect pick, actually.
Okay.
Sandy, let's talk Mitt Romney here for just a moment. Not just the question of, should he become the Secretary of State, but how did it even come about, given surely Trump had to know. He had to know there would be this unbelievable wave of pushback. Was Mitt Romney a serious contender from the beginning? And is there any chance he's going to be the next Secretary of State?
Well, you know that I can't answer that. I'll tell you something. I said this morning on my show, and I'll repeat it. This is a case where I don't have any inside knowledge other than just knowing some of the players. But I don't really know. Nobody's picked up the phone. Nobody's filled me in on this. So I want to make that clear. But if you had to ask me what I think is happening, I'll say, I'll be the color commentator for the sports show. I think, I believe that Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon are appalled by Mitt Romney for good reason. I believe that Reince Priebus and Mike Pence are pushing him. Mm-hmm. I believe that Donald Trump's caught in the middle. I believe that Donald Trump probably gave Kellyanne permission to go out and say what she said, and Newt Gingrich as well, to try to give him cover for not picking Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Listen, I'm telling you, that is mere speculation on my part, but that's what my hunch is.
Yeah, I don't think Trump needs cover for much.
No, but he does from Mike Pence and mm-hmm. and Reince Priebus.
Okay.
And he needs to be able to say, man, you guys, well, if I do that, look what's going to happen here.
Just doesn't sound like Donald Trump. I don't know who came to Trump, you know, while he's having a sandwich going, hey, what do you think about Mitt Romney coming over?
I know, I can't. And listen, I can't
believe
this guy.
I know, I'm just tossing it out. What do you think about Mitt coming over for a lunch next Tuesday? I'm going, you think Trump would probably swallow his hot dog whole and look up and go, you know.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Well, you know what? Keep in mind, though, his personality is, he is quite changeable. He's impressionable.
Well, Mitt Romney called him phony.
He's
I don't think
maker.
He's phony. Yeah.
I don't either, but I don't think he's phony. But I think it's kind of ironic that Mitt Romney is meeting with Donald Trump after Mitt Romney called Donald Trump. Wait, this may not even happen. And it's kind of stunning to see somebody like Kellyanne Conway, who runs was the spokesperson for the campaign, saying, my boss better not do this.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Well, I told you what I think. I think she did it with full permission. Kellyanne is not going to.
But it was Trump's fault for ever meeting with Romney in the first place.
Well, I think he did that. I'm speculating.
Yeah, I know. So am I.
I think he did it to appease Mike Pence and Reince Priebus, because that would be their connect. That would be their. Mm-hmm. I bet you dollars to donuts. That's their pick. So now he's caught between C-Ban and Kellyanne Conway and these other two. And I think he's wanting cover because I don't think he wants Mitt Romney.
And he wanted this
Sandy, that makes perfect sense. But then why did he call Romney back in for the second meeting
to tell him he doesn't want him?
He's not the man.
No, you don't bring him back in for a second interview unless they got the job. That's my opinion.
We'll see.
Well, that's humiliating.
You bring him in to tell him,
you need to jump a little higher. Can you jump a little higher, Mitt?
Maybe he can be, I don't know, over the EP. Maybe he can do something else.
That's a mess.
Something
he should have
else.
Never agreed to meet with him in the first place.
I'm with you.
Publicly, they could have talked on the phone or whatever. Now, I don't have anything. Mitt Romney may be a fine Secretary of State for all I know.
No,
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
He
well,
be.
What I'm saying is, whether he would be or wouldn't be, he's disqualified himself in the way that he's talked about Trump leading up to the election. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I agree. Remember, he's the one that handpicked the candidate in Utah.
Yeah, he said, nobody opposed Donald Trump more than Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
That's right. So go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
Thank you, Reince Priebus and Mike Pence.
So the eternal war between the establishment and the conservatives goes on.
Yes, it does.
That's what you're telling us here.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's the good news, Tim, and that's the good news. No, but you know what? I am encouraged because I think certainly on the national security front, I just see things are going to shift, and I'm very happy for that.
So. On balance, you would have to give thumbs up on
national security.
On national security.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to fight on the other things too. Okay. And Jeff Sessions as Attorney General.
You give that thumbs up?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I'm going to take away your Debbie Downer award for today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll be listening tomorrow to see what we can find out.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye, you guys.
Thank
you soon.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Walker. See you next time, folks.